She pleaded with me. Tell me why. Why are you leaving? She had tears in her eyes, and her voice was coming from a deep place of hurting. She then added, I feel like a six-year-old child who's being left alone. I don't understand. Why are you leaving? This verbal exchange with a member of the parish happened last week. Her earnest and emotional question to me mandated an honest and candid response. After a pause, shaking my head, I said, I don't know. I don't know why. That brief conversation, rooted in the question of why, now serves as the foundation for my last sermon to you. I look back on that lunch with Molly Hathaway in 1999 that some of you heard about several weeks ago. It was the time that I was soliciting her advice on what might be next in my life. In response to my question, what do you see me doing? Molly immediately said, I see you becoming a priest. I was stunned and speechless. I remember thinking, what a bizarre answer. Why? Why would she say that to me? It wasn't until 2 years later that I began to be reluctantly, but persistently and unexpectedly nudged into the discernment process for ordained ministry. I remember calling my brother, who's here today, calling my brother Randy in Charlottesville, Virginia, to tell him of my plans. His immediate reaction, and I am quoting him now, are you nuts? Why would you do that? There was that question of why again. A logical question with no logical answer. Yet it was the beginning of coming into a deeper understanding of what a call entails and what it does not. Trying to frame the concept of call with why is not the right question. Attempting to link human language to describe the mystical concept of God's call in our lives is completely at odds with one another. Rather, attempting to link scripture with God's call holds greater possibility for deeper understanding. The readings that I chose for today are intended to offer theological insight to my call over the last 12 years and specifically to completing my time at Redeemer. The first reading from the prophet Jeremiah speaks to the unexpected and startling nature of God entering into the life of Jeremiah. Jeremiah did not see this coming, nor did I. Never mind, God tells Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I will be with you, adding, you shall go to all to whom I send you. You shall go to all to whom I send you. If nothing else, this passage is a clear foreshadowing that a call is an action verb. When God calls, it is useless to ask, why me? Instead, God desires we respond, Here I am, Lord, send me. I picked the well-known gospel from John intentionally. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. Normally, you hear this passage at funerals. It is such a hopeful and reassuring message of the resurrection. But it spoke to me in terms of how a spiritual journey for each of us holds many destinations, many dwelling places. Jesus in his ministry went from place to place, never staying too long. God wants all of us to keep going, keep growing, to go deeper. He does not want us to become root-bound in our faith. Theological complacency is a dead-end destination. During my ministry, I have served in 5 churches, 2 schools, and 2 hospitals. Each piece of that journey has involved beginnings filled with curiosity and expectation, and each place involved endings filled with grief and gratitude. All have stretched me spiritually and personally. When I left after 2 years my first parish, St. Andrew's in Howard County, I said to that loving congregation that if I were to stay another 20 years, I would always want just one more with them, just one more sermon, just one more baptism, just one more pastoral conversation, just one more. And that is how I feel today. If I stayed with you another year or two, that would not be enough. I would always want just one more. That realization has been a critical insight for ministry. That completing a ministry is not determined by a secular timetable. There is not a well-defined finish line like a horse race or sporting event that marks the ending. Rather, completing a ministry is organic and fluid, following God's invitation through the many dwelling places that He has in store for us. But the leaving of a place upon completion of God's call is not without human sadness. When people have asked, "How am I doing?" my honest reply is, "This is hard, really hard." I'm aware that whenever I do retire from active ministry, Redeemer will be the place where I would have spent the majority of my time as clergy. That makes me happy, really happy. This parish is extraordinarily kind, and I use that word extraordinary with intentionality. You are kind to one another, to the outside community, and particularly to the staff and clergy. This is a congregation that says please and thank you. You are a group of people who earnestly seek to be faithful stewards of our baptismal covenant. There is a tender vulnerability about you that the Holy Spirit gathers into her arms and deems this space as sacred. Because of you, Redeemer is a life-giving place of worship. That I will miss terribly, really terribly. Several weeks ago, the reading appointed for that Sunday was from Philippians, and I ask that we repeat it today. At the time, it startled me how appropriate for expressing my feelings as I am leaving. Paul writes, "I will thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of our sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. It is right for me to think this way about all of you because you have held me in your heart." And Paul ends, "And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more." So back to the original question from the distraught parishioner. Why? Why are you leaving? I suppose my human answer is the same. I still don't know why. I still don't know why Molly thought I should become a priest. I still don't know why I was called, although I do know why my brother thought I was nuts at the time. But all that being said, now what I do know is that Molly thought I should become a priest. Now what I do know is that I am called. Now what I do know is that my time at Redeemer is complete. And what I do know is that I love you deeply. Amen.